Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
It is 29 minutes to 2 o'clock, and this is live on Adventist World Radio SID Media. My name is Sibongile Lugube, and I am your host until 3 o'clock, standing in for Nayelu Pondwana. Right now is time for Chew on That, and we are going through the book of Exodus. We are on the fifth chapter today, and helping us get through that is Pastor Israel Nchangase joining us on the line. Good afternoon, my pastor. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for asking. How are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord is so good.
Amen. Amen. For sure. For sure.
Yes.
Well, Pastor, we are going to be going through a few chapters of the book of Exodus, starting today with chapter 5. Would you please just take us through that? What are we looking at in the fifth chapter of Exodus?
Okay. You know what, you got me off guard, but right now I don't have my Bible with me. I'm out of the house. But we can discuss it anyway, because I did go through it yesterday.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
We're
talking about Bricks Without Straw is the title that is...
Yes. All right. Well, the long and the short of it is that at that time, God was wanting to deliver Israel out of the Egyptian captivity or slavery.
Right.
And then Pharaoh was approached by Moses and Aaron. And then he strengthened the yoke, if I may put it that way. He made it worse for the people.
Yeah.
In other words, he was annoyed.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of the chapter, he's asking, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. Because, you know, Moses introduced God as the one who says, let my people go. And they must worship me in the wilderness, to make sacrifices there.
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh became very hard. And people also, as really the chapter going through, people also did not understand exactly what these two were up to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they blame them. You know, now Pharaoh is even giving us more work to do because of you. And but at the end of the day, Pharaoh had a very hard heart, if I may put it that way. And these people were have been enslaved for many years. So now Pharaoh was used to enslave them.
Mm-hmm.
And so God, in his own perfect timing, wanted to deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh and set them free.
Mm.
That's the long and the short of this chapter 5 of Exodus.
Powerful, powerful. And what lessons do we get from these experiences that the Israelites went through in this chapter?
Yes. Well, number one, we need to understand that they did not do anything to deserve what they did.
Okay.
They came through Joseph, who was a friend of a Pharaoh who knew Joseph.
Uh-huh.
But after the death of a Pharaoh who knew Joseph, then this one, because they were multiplying quickly, he felt that these people will overthrow the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
We rather oppress them before they even think of fighting us or inviting other nations to overthrow us. Then they were put into captivity on that account.
Okay.
But that's one thing. They did not deserve this. That's the one thing. Secondly, they cried to God for many years, for 430 years, if I'm not mistaken. And God did not respond immediately. But at last, God responded. So the lesson we can draw is that even today, when we ask God to deliver us, God may not deliver us immediately as we want, as we wish.
Mm.
Yes, but we must be patient with God. We must keep on trusting in the Lord, even if God seems to be silent, because his silence is not his absence.
Mm.
And also, his silence is not that he's sacrificing us to those who are oppressing us. That's one. Two, God is not happy for anybody to oppress any other person.
Mm-hmm.
So, what they did was not approved of God. Of course, they did not believe in him.
Right.
But it was not approved of God. That is why God came through at last. He had heard the cry of the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was the time for him to deliver them. Another lesson is that the timing, God's timing is always perfect.
Mm.
We may not know it ourselves. But God's timing, when he comes through to deliver us, he will excel.
Amen. Amen. That's
nobody can stop God from delivering his people. Amen. Far of it.
Amen.
So even our situations today that are not allowing us to be free of our own slavery, mm-hmm. the Lord who created us in his own image will fight for us and will win the battle on our behalf. Those are the lessons that I think we need to pick from the chapter.
Beautiful, powerful. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. It's so encouraging to know that our God fights for us, that he doesn't give up on us.
Yes.
And I think many of us as Christians have probably experienced a time where you've prayed for something.
Definitely.
And you've waited for God and he seems to be quiet.
Yes.
And you start wondering, is it me? Is there something? Is there something I'm doing wrong?
You even doubt your own faith. Hey, do I have faith in God?
Yes.
Does God recognize that I'm his child? Yes. Or am I too bad that God cannot hear my cry?
Hey.
So you see, and the devil will plant doubts and say, you deserve it. You are a sinner, by the way.
Sure.
And the devil will claim that, no, because you have sinned, I have a right to destroy you. Let God alone. Let me destroy you. And God says, know what? Yes, they are sinners, but they have not denied me. They are still my children.
Yes.
They have not denied me. And so as their God, I'll fight for them and I'll deliver them from the claws of the enemy.
Sure. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Another thing I can say, waiting is a stress, is a frustration.
Yeah, for sure.
Just in general, if you just look at it, when you're flying out or flying somewhere and you're told that your flight is delayed, you get frustrated.
Yeah.
Automatically, you get frustrated.
Yep.
Of course, there are reasons because you must be connecting somewhere with another flight. And then if you're late, you decide that you might also miss out on the other side.
Yeah.
So, but even if you're waiting for a bus, if it's not coming, you feel it, man. This is not nice. This is not a nice experience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes, but with God, you must know that even though God seems to be silent, he knows the timing. The timing is perfect. And when he comes through, he will show his power and he'll make us happy at the end of the day.
Sure. I wonder, I'm not sure if you'd have an answer to this. What was the purpose for the long, quote-unquote, delay that the Israelites had to wait for that long? Is there a reason that's ever given anywhere in the Bible or that we can maybe surmise why God waited that long?
Yes, I think it is in Genesis 15. There is a prophecy revealed to Abraham that your descendants will be in slavery situation for 400 years. There's a prophecy there.
Okay.
So that prophecy was foretold to their father Abraham. But now I'm not sure why, because it's now 430 now. It's 30 years more. It's not only 400 years. That I cannot answer, and only God knows why. Or maybe it was only a round figure when God says it's 400 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But God, as you know, God has a foreknowledge.
Yes.
He knew before.
Yes.
So in his own foreknowledge, he prophesied this thing and he proclaimed it to Abraham before it happened. Now, I don't know if they had studied that prophecy themselves. I don't know that, but the Bible doesn't tell me.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if they studied that prophecy, then they would be counting years.
Yes, exactly.
You see? Yeah. Go ahead.
That actually brings up a good point that if they knew, they would now be counting the years to see and doing a countdown instead of focusing on whatever work was in front of them. And sometimes I think we need to do that. Just focus on the work that's in front of you.
That's right.
We don't know, for example, when Jesus is coming back. He has not given us a timeline.
That's correct.
And if he had given us the timeline and said, I'm coming in 2030, some of us would now, we would stop doing the work. We'd just be waiting. We'd just be sitting somewhere waiting for 2030 to come. And so I think that's another lesson.
Whether
it is the second coming of Jesus or whatever deliverance we need from whatever situation we're facing now, just do the work that's in front of you. Don't worry about the date when deliverance is coming.
That is quite correct. That's the attitude we should have as Christians.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Any final thoughts, final lessons, anything else that we can pick up from here?
Yeah, the final... the final lessons I would say, my sister, is that just like Israelites, God is seemingly quiet when we pray,
mm-hmm.
but his timing is known unto him.
Mm.
That should give us hope and courage. That mm-hmm. should increase our faith in God. To say, even though we don't see any sign,
mm-hmm.
we don't see any sign of deliverance, but we know that deliverance is sure.
Amen. Amen.
Because we serve a God who delivers his people at the right moment.
Yes.
Just in time, just yes. in time, God will come through. If you can keep that in mind, we can face whatever challenge that we might have.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Stressing does not solve any problem, but faith in God and calmness in the midst of chaos is the right attitude we should develop as Christians.
100%.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Amen. My pastor, thank you so much. We mm-hmm. appreciate you coming through.
Thank you so much,
lesson.
Man.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank
lesson.
You.
We will be
meeting again on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yes.
Wednesday. Okay. I'll be ready for you. Thanks, Emilio.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Okay.
Family, that was Pastor Israel Nchangase with a beautiful lesson on Exodus chapter 5. And we will be connecting with him again on Wednesday, same time, same place. So make sure that you tune in for that as we get into Exodus chapter 6.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
You know, another thing that just kind of popped up in my mind as we were wrapping up there, that almost slipped my mind. You know how after Moses and Aaron started speaking to Pharaoh and trying to negotiate for the release of the Israelites, and this chapter tells us that things got even worse. Pharaoh's heart got even harder, and he was like, no, I'm going to fix these guys because these guys think that they can play with me. They think I'm one of their little friends. They think that we're equals. I need to show these guys that I'm not playing with them or their God, right? And so he made things worse, and the situation, the working conditions got so unbearable for the Israelites, to the point where the Israelites were really like, okay, seriously, Moses, Aaron, what are you guys up to? Because how did we get in this thing? Why are we now the ones getting punished? We are quiet. We're minding our business. We've got our heads down. We're doing our work. You are the ones who are provoking this guy, and it's getting worse for us. And I think there's a lesson there to know that there are times when you will go to God for something, or you will obey God in a certain situation as an assignment that he gives to you. And when you do that, things could actually get worse for you. Don't be afraid when that happens. If in your obedience to God, you find things getting worse as a result, right? Sometimes you can actually trace it and see that it's as a direct result of your obedience to God. That is why things are going crazy. Things are just falling apart and going haywire. You can still rest in the knowledge that if you are obeying God, if you are in the will of God, even those adverse conditions are a part of the plan, and he will use those for his glory. Ultimately, as Christians, as children of God, our ultimate desire is for God to be glorified in every situation, all right? So in my life, in my success, in my failure, in my sinfulness, in my repentance, in my salvation, in every situation in my life, my ultimate goal, my ultimate desire is that God would be glorified. And so once you find yourself in those situations where after obeying God, things got worse, after coming to God with your situation, things got worse, after God stepped in, things got worse, don't be afraid, because God sees the end from the beginning. He knows what he's doing. There is a reason for everything. It's all planned out, and he has a way out for you. So don't be afraid. All right. That's just a little word of encouragement based on Exodus chapter 5. Like I said, on Wednesday, we will be connecting with our pastor once again to get into chapter 6 of Exodus. Now at 2:00, right at the top of the hour, we will be getting into our next segment, speaking with Pastor Joseph Farah about understanding sinners. We're going to be talking about sinners throughout this week. And so that's our first conversation. We'll be talking about sinners and just kind of getting a biblical perspective on what sin is, what makes someone a sinner, and all that good stuff. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.